Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, January 24th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Supporters of the state's new oil tax regime have launched a major campaign to defeat a citizen initiative which would restore the old tax. Ads urging Alaskans to vote no on one have begun to appear on television and in print, and some members of the campaign are appearing in person. Former Sitkan Rocky Ellerding traveled from Ketchikan this week to speak to Sitka's Chamber of Commerce on the issue. Ellerding is a 1995 graduate of Sitka High School. He is now a mortgage manager for First Bank. Ellerding's 20-minute PowerPoint echoed much of the tax reform debate that dominated the Alaska legislative session last year. The Republican majority in 2013 passed a measure known as Senate Bill 21, restructuring Alaska's system of taxing oil profits. Opponents of SB 21 have referred to it as a giveaway. Some notable Republicans, including Sitka Senator Bert Stedman, made headlines last year by signing the initiative petition that is now known as Proposition 1. If passed by voters this August, Prop 1 would repeal SB 21. Ellerding's presentation focused on the importance of the oil economy in Alaska. It provides 90% of state revenues and is directly or indirectly responsible for one-third of all jobs in the state. Ellerding said that the Vote No on One campaign also wants Alaskans to think about their personal revenues, the permanent fund dividend especially.
Think about the impact on families if the PFD went away. Some families save their PFDs to pay for their kids' college education. I wish my parents had done that. As I said earlier, the oil and gas revenue lets Alaska enjoy no state income and sales tax. No other state in the U.S. can claim that.
The legislature is starting the session this week with a budget from the governor that is $2 billion in the red. Opponents of SB 21 argue that the new tax structure is mostly to blame for the shortfall. Ellerding, however, argued that SB 21 will eventually provide the state with more tax revenues than the old structure once the state decline in production is reversed. Chamber audience member Max Rule asked for his reaction after the presentation, agreed that it was too soon to throw out SB 21.
SB 21 should have a chance to work before we jump to conclusions that after it only being in place for a year or less than a year, that we think that it's not working. That if it turns out that, as we go down the road, that it's not working, then look at changes to it.
As a businessman, Rule is also sympathetic to the idea that any business, even the big three oil companies, are looking for ways to hold down the cost of investment.
For me, it's not a partisan issue. It's not whether it's Democrat or Republican. It's a situation of economics, that the fact is that it's cheaper for the oil companies to develop wells in the Balkans, Montana, North Dakota, and these other areas. And from a business perspective or business standpoint, business will go where you have the least cost of production.
Scott Saline, however, sees things differently. Saline is a refrigeration mechanic who has plans to open a seafood cafe this summer. He thinks the new tax structure is giving the oil companies too much at the expense of the public.
It just doesn't make sense to me. The margin wasn't shown to me of how much money they're losing. I'm more concerned that the shareholders want a higher percentage, like if you have to grow 2 to 3% a year, that the extra cost to go in Alaska, that oil's still in the bank because it will be harvested at some time. And to forsake any money going to the schools or whatever the state needs, without showing me that the shareholders and the CEOs aren't enjoying a growth that none of us are, I just can't not try to have them pay more.
Saline is also aware of the position of Sitka's legislators. Representative Jonathan Christ-Tompkins joined his fellow House Democrats in opposing SB 21 last year. Sitka Senator Bert Stedman and Kodiak Senator Gary Stevens were the only two Senate Republicans to break from the majority and vote against the bill, which passed the Senate 11-9. Saline says Stedman has made an effort to become a student of the oil industry, and he trusts his judgment.
I got faith in Bert looking out for us and not to be swayed by muscle up in the Mat-Su or wherever all this is coming from.
Ballot Proposition 1, repealing Senate Bill 21, is one of several measures Alaska voters will decide during the statewide primary election on August 19th. A proposition raising the minimum wage by $1 to $8.75 an hour has made it to the ballot, so has a proposition legalizing the recreational use of marijuana. A fourth initiative, requiring the legislature to fully consider the health of the Bristol Bay salmon fisheries before allowing any mining in the area, is awaiting certification by Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell. Former Haines Representative Bill Thomas is considering a run for the House seat being vacated by Juneau's Beth Kurtula. But he's more likely to take on Juneau Senator Dennis Egan, Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Haines Republican Bill Thomas served 8 years in the House. He lost a close 2012 race to Sitka's Jonathan Christ Tompkins after new boundaries put that city inside his district. He hoped for a rematch, but an updated redistricting plan put Haines in with Juneau and a few smaller communities, not Sitka. Thomas says he's considering a run for Kurtula's seat, which has been held by a Democrat for at least 2 decades, but he probably won't do it.
I think it'd be an uphill battle, you know, from what I've seen through the years, depending on who they put in there.
District Democrats will nominate up to 3 replacements, with a governor making the choice. Thomas can't apply for that since he's a Republican and living outside the current district. But he can run for the seat later this year when election boundaries change. He says he'll decide once he knows whether the new representative is a placeholder or someone who would run as an incumbent.
I'd rather just, I think right now, wait and see what happens this next week or so with the appointment.
Kurtula has held the seat for 15 years. She says she hopes Thomas won't run because he'd lose.
Bill Thomas is a friend, so I'm hoping that he'll think twice before he gets himself into this any further. But the math alone means this will stay a Democratic seat and a strong one.
Thomas says he's more inclined to run against Juneau Democratic Senator Dennis Egan, who's up for re-election this year.
I'll be the first one to admit my chances of beating Dennis Egan straight up were nil.
Egan was appointed to the post in 2009 when Senator Kim Elton resigned for an Obama administration job. The Juneau Democrat was unopposed in his 2010 re-election bid. Thomas points to Egan's recent hospitalization and wonders whether the Juneau Democrat will be able to complete another 4-year term.
I just want to have a debate with him saying, you're going to spend your 4 years, and if not, you step down within a year or 6 months after the election.
There's no way in heck that I would quit serving another term.
Egan says he's fully recovered from what he calls routine heart surgery about 3 years ago. He also says leg surgery last year was successful. He says he's getting back to full speed now after an infection he caught in the hospital attacked his foot.
My health is much better, and you know, and I filed a letter of intent, and I have money, and I plan on running.
Kurtula, who's been House Minority Leader, is leaving for a 1-year fellowship at Stanford University's Center for Ocean Solutions. She could return and run again for her House seat or Egan's, but she's not making any plans.
We'll just see what the future brings, but I can't really see that far ahead right now, but I know somebody's going to be in this seat for a long, long time.
Kurtula and Egan's current districts include Petersburg, Skagway, Gustavus, and Tenneke. For the next election, they'll drop Petersburg and add Haines. Juneau's other representative is Republican Kathy Munoz. Her district is, and will be, all within the capital city's boundaries. With KTOO's Rosemarie Alexander, this is Ed Schoenfeld reporting from Juneau.
And the second session of the 28th Alaska Legislature opened on Tuesday in Juneau. Representative Peggy Wilson of Wrangell shares her hopes for the session. KSDK's Shady Grove Oliver reports.
Peggy Wilson represents House District 33, comprising Wrangell, Ketchikan, and Northern Prince of Wales. She says this legislative session, transportation is one of her top priorities.
Well, personally, I want to really push my Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund, and what that is an endowment fund for the state of Alaska for transportation and infrastructure needs. And for Alaska, that includes roads, ports, harbors, ferries, and airports.
That fund encompasses House Joint Resolution 10, House Bill 122, and House Bill 123. Wilson says it would take about $3 billion to get the fund started, after which only the interest accrued would be used. The principal would never be tapped.
So we would have money we could depend on, no matter what the finances of the economy of the state was, or no matter what was happening in the whole United States or the world, we would still be able to maintain our infrastructure and our transportation system.
Wilson says that's particularly important in Southeast, which depends heavily on ferries and airplanes for travel among the communities. And Wilson says she would like to see more of a focus on Panhandle communities as a matter of practice.
Well, one thing that I would like to see change is that most of our funding goes to the rail belt and not to the rural areas, and I would like to see more funds go to the rural areas. We may not be the majority of the population, but we're a very, very important part of Alaska as a whole.
Wilson says the rural parts of Alaska, and not just Southeast, provide some of the most lucrative industries in the state. But those same communities often face the highest costs of living. For that reason, she'd like to see more money funneled to them rather than away from them.
That was KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 41 degrees in downtown Sitka under fair skies. Should be partly cloudy today with patchy fog and highs around 51. Mostly clear tonight with patchy fog late and lows around 39, and sunny tomorrow with highs around 52, east winds 5 miles per hour. Coming up is NPR's Morning Edition, and that at 8:18 I'll have a live local interview for you with Southeast Alaska Independent Living. Have a great morning.